I won't keep you long this morning. The Spirit of God's doing a great work. And actually, it's amazing, my thought today, and again, I don't know how far we'll get, is hearing the Spirit. Hearing the Spirit. In Acts 16, I want to read the first seven verses, and we may just get through the introduction. I don't know. We'll just go as we go. Acts 16. And in this text, of course, my message actually will come out of verse 6, but yet we may not get to the message. But we have here the introduction of Timotheus or Timothy. Maybe the first mention, the first time he appears in Scripture. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll correct it. But the Bible said, then came he, talking about Paul, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. I'm coming back to that. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium, whom would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father, they all knew that his father was a Greek. Y'all bear with me, I'm seeing it, but it ain't coming out right. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to degrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now may the Lord add his blessings. Now again, in verse 6, we're forbidding of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, as a preacher, a lot of preachers have their own thing. And again, there's too much preacher arguing going on anyway. We go where the Lord sends us. And I've made this statement, I'll preach wherever God opens the door. But sometimes the door may be open, but the Holy Spirit says, don't go. Amen. And so it's very important, as Paul is stating here, to hear the Holy Spirit, to know. Now, Paul was wanting to go places, and they were hindered by people. But we have a text here where they were forbidden by the Spirit of God. Now, may the Lord add his blessings. Again, we're looking today if God will be our helper on hearing the Spirit. Now, one of the most needful things in the life of a Christian is the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I say that, I'm not speaking with audible ears. I'm speaking with a voice in the heart. The Spirit of God, when he dealt with me about salvation, it almost felt like audibly, but he was speaking expressly to my heart. As a matter of fact, when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, it's more clear than audibly. Amen. It's more clear than audibly. If you ever had the Spirit of God nudge your heart, you know very well that you can hear it loud and clear. So being led by the Spirit is evidence of salvation. Now, once we get saved, we're drawn by the Spirit. And then when we get born again, we're led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I may say more about this in a moment, but yet we understand the Spirit guides in all truth. And we'll look at that sometime or another in John chapter number 16. But also, not only does the Spirit guide us or lead us into truth, but the Spirit also leads us into testing. And leads us into testing. Preacher, what do you mean? Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now we know James 1:13, God does not tempt us to sin, but yet he has to allow Satan to do it. And so the Spirit led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Now, to say I understand all of that, I'd be a liar and the truth not in me. But yet we realize that God sometimes wants to show us off as trophies of God's grace. Pretend that's a trophy. We mentioned Job quite a bit. And even the New Testament talks about his patience, his endurance during times of testing. And then, of course, we understand, we don't understand every time we're led, every time that the Satan comes against us. But sometimes I thought about one of the songs they were singing, when I failed the test again. God wants us to pass tests. Why? To show Satan they're in it for real. They're in it. They're in it for right. They love me, not because of the things I have provided for them, but simply because I saved them and they love me. Amen. So the Spirit of God, it leads us to salvation. And the Spirit of God leads us to truth. But sometimes the Spirit of God leads us to testing. You say, preacher, I don't understand my trial. It may not, but the Spirit of God might have led you there. The leadership of the Spirit can stop you from doing something good and godly. Not only does he lead, he also stops the text. They were going to do nothing but preach the gospel in Galatia. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden. He said, no, you can't go there right now. Again, we don't understand all of that. I remember when the Lord had called me to preach, and I remember when he put it in my heart to pastor. And I wanted the Spirit of God to lead me and guide me. And I had a neighbor, and he is with the Lord. And he was a good man, good godly man. Ellis McMillan, good man, loved him. Miss Ruth, they were good people. They were good to me and Kim when we moved there beside them. And he would come down. He'd be working out on the farm or he'd be doing something. And he'd come down and tell me about a church that was looking for a pastor. And I can't explain it all, but almost immediately the Spirit of God would grieve in me. And I'd say, well, if it's the Lord's will, and I didn't know, you know, I wouldn't know much about what to say now, but then I surely didn't. And a few weeks would pass, he'd come tell me about another one. And he'd tell me about another one, meaning well, trying to help me. And finally, he got frustrated at this young boy, and he said, do you want a pastor or not? I said, yes, sir, I do, but I can't explain this to you. And I did. I was hungry, but the Spirit of God would grieve. I mean, just down the road, a church came available, and I was looking, and it was everything that I was for, everything that I stood on. That church was it, and I said, this is it. And I walked in the front door of that church, and the Spirit of God immediately said, no, this is not it. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And so I preached, left, they called me back a week or two later, and here's how crazy I was, and y'all think I'm crazy now. I know they thought I was crazy. And after the service, I'm talking about green behind the ears and all that stuff. I said, I need to talk to the deacons. They looked at me like, man, who do you think you are? I said, I just got to talk to the deacons. Ever who's over getting the preachers, I got to talk to you. And we went downstairs to the church, and they're looking at each other, looking at me. I said, I got a question. I'm talking about blunt now. I said, are y'all considering me as the pastor here? And that threw them off. And they said, we're still praying about it. I said, no. I said, if you are, don't. And they was looking wild then. Like, what do we do? You too good for us? I said, the only thing I can tell y'all is both times I've come here to preach, the Spirit of God told me no. And there is no sense in me wasting your time when y'all could be getting the man God wants y'all to have. And it did. But it wasn't me. And I waited another year before the Spirit of God gave me a green light to pastor. And here I am. And here we are. I'm telling you, folks, if the Spirit of God says no, take that. If the Spirit of God says yes, but you got to know how to hear Him. We can't hear the Spirit of God if we're not saved. God heareth not sinners in John chapter 9, but He hears the sinner's prayer. In other words, when a sinner comes humbly, when I say sinner's prayer, I'm not talking about a technical prayer. I'm talking about when we come broken, realizing we're sinners, and call on the Lord to get saved. He hears us. And then the Holy Spirit of God moves into our heart to ever live in us. And we need to then begin to walk in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will never contradict this. See, a lot of folks misunderstand and they get a righteous feeling. But a righteous feeling doesn't mean it's a spirit feeling. The text is proof of that. The text is proof of that. And so they'll say, well, the Lord told me to. The Spirit of God will never tell you to do anything that contradicts the Word of God. I was still just young preacher. And I had a man in a church come to me and ask me. And I mean, I wasn't the one to be asking questions like that. I didn't know anything and don't know much more than that now. And he said, what do you think about? I thought he was sincere. What he was a troublemaker. And I didn't understand, but I learned. I mean, I've seen troublemakers, but I never had to deal with one. I'm always the young'uns. I mean, the adults dealt with that. I'm transitioning now, you can see. And he said, well, what do you think of it? I honestly don't remember what it was. All I said was, well, the Bible says, and I quoted a verse, and it infuriated him. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. Here's what I believe. What'd you do? I looked him dead in the eye and said, I'm telling on you. And what did I do? I went and told the pastor. Here's what he asked me. Here's what I told him. And here's his response. I'm done with it. The Spirit of God will never, ever lead you contrary to Scripture. The Spirit of God will never tell you yea or nay if it doesn't line up with Scripture. Again, He leads us in all truth. Amen. So, hearing the Spirit requires salvation. It requires separation of life where we can have communication and it'll line up with the Scripture. Hearing the Spirit will do those three things. Now, we've got to remember the ministry of the Spirit. Again, I talked about Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Spirit of God will never speak of Himself, but He'll speak of the S-O-N, the Son, Christ. He never brags on Him. The evidence of a Christian being filled with the Spirit of God is not how they talk about the Spirit, but it's how they talk about the Son. He guides us, His loyalty to the Father and the Son. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll guide us in truth and we'll magnify Christ in everything we do. Amen. Whether you eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of the Lord. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict, reprove. What John 14 says, He's come to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. We're reproved where we get the word convict. Then Christ told the disciples, He'll lead thee and guide thee. He's the Paracletos, the one that comes along beside us and leads us and guides us. The ministry of the Spirit of God is to indwell the believer. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. But don't fear, I'm going to send another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Christ was with them, but now he's going away. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Can I say that again? He said, I'll not leave thee comfortless. I'll come to you, is what he said. And he did through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God won't lead you into witchcraft. The Spirit of God won't lead you into mystical spirits. The Spirit of God won't lead you into anything like that. He'll lead you to the truth of the Word of God. Anything else is cultish. Anything else is anti-God. No matter how it makes you feel. No matter what your opinion, my opinions do not matter. Your opinions do not matter. The Word of God is the final authority, and He tells us what the Spirit of God's ministry is in this world. In this world. Do you understand? You understand how bad things are today? You see that? Do you understand if the Holy Spirit was not here, how much worse? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you understand when the church is raptured out of here, the Spirit's going with us. And immediately when the saved are gone and the Spirit of God is gone, the Bible said, now him that will now let be taken out of the way. That's talking about the Spirit of God. Every restraint. There's no light in the world anymore, no salt in the world. I'm talking about Christians. The Spirit of God's gone. The Bible said, when that happens, all restraints of evil. You think it's evil now? You wait till the church is raptured out of here. You wait till the Spirit of God is gone. You think, oh, it's awful. And it is. But thank God we won't see it all. Whoop. I can't wait for the day the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise. And we out of here. If you're born again, been born of the Spirit of God. That's what born again means, born from above, born of the Spirit of God. And when you got saved, but you imagine when the Spirit of God is gone and all evil restraint is turned loose on this world. And that wicked one shall be revealed, the Antichrist. And for 3.5 years, there's going to be a false peace upon this earth. Gas prices will be back to the... You think he's living in the 50s buying groceries. I didn't live in the 50s, but I know the groceries was cheap. But you'll be making money like never before. And everything will be peaceful. Then, hey, the devil's going to send the strong delusion, or God's going to send strong delusion that you'll believe the lie of the Antichrist. And boy, you'll think he's the best thing. Well, good riddance, church. Good riddance, Christian. Good riddance, Holy Ghost. But the last 3.5 years, the Bible calls it the abomination of desolation. When the Antichrist shows his true colors, and he sits down on the throne of David and rules with a rod of iron, and you can't buy nothing. You have to get his mark on your hand or your forehead. And get this, the mark is not 666. That's the number of the beast. That is not the mark of him. We don't know what that mark is. In order to survive, you'll have to get it. But you'll believe the strong delusion. You'll get it. Your fate will be sealed. All that takes place after the Spirit of God is gone. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm thankful for the work of the Spirit in my life. Folks, I think about where I was at one time. I think about my life in a time. Well, I'm glad Jesus passed by. I'm glad he changed me. Oh, I'm not perfect. I've not arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended. I fail him every day and I hate it. But oh, how I know I'm saved by the Spirit of God. So we need to remember the ministry of the Spirit. Then we need to recognize the voice of the Spirit. And I'm hurrying. And I repeat this. The secret of hearing the voice of the Spirit is to be full of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I had all kinds of scriptures, and I've not looked at any of them. But do you remember in Acts 8? I may go back to this one. And I promise you, folks, I'm about finished. in Acts 8, you remember when Philip, he goes down to the city of Samaria and he preaches Christ, and it's a mess. I'm in around verse 5. I mean, unclean spirits, little s, demonic spirits. You understand the word demon's not in your Bible. Devils is. Now, I mean, it's not in the King James Bible. I don't know if it's in the other ones or not. I don't read them. But devils is. You say, preacher, am I wrong by saying demon? No, I ain't saying you're wrong by saying demon. The word rapture is not in the Bible either. We talk about it. Because that word, here I go, caught up means rapture in Latin or Greek. It means raptured or be called away. But yet, these unclean spirits are crying with a loud voice. Came out of many who were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And we could go on and on. And Philip is preaching, and the Spirit of God is overriding the spirits of the devil. And man, people are getting right. And them devils, hey, if the Holy Ghost of God moves in, the devils will move out. Amen. The only hope somebody's got devils is the Spirit of God, them getting saved. Amen. Folks, you understand a Christian cannot be possessed with devils. We can be oppressed with them, but not possessed with them. They can aggravate us, bother us, tempt us, try us, but they can't live in us. That devil ain't going to move in where the Holy Ghost is at. All power is given. But I want you to know the Spirit's moving. But in verse number, Lord of mercy, is it 29? Then the Spirit, that's big S. The Spirit, we see the Spirit. Let me back up. They got saved, they received the Holy Ghost. And then we know the Spirit of God called up Philip. The angel of the Lord called up Philip, said, I want you to go somewhere else. In verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. You understand, Philip never listened to the little s spirits. He knew they were not of God. And to hear the Holy Spirit's got to be filled with the Spirit. And now he is listening. The angel called him up. He's gone. And the Spirit of God says, hey, now there's a man over there in a chariot. I want you to go to where he's at. Folks, it's amazing to me how the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. I've talked to pastors and they said, the Lord has told us to resign this work and go to this place. I think about the missionaries, how the Spirit of God will direct them to go start a work in a specific place. Think about myself, how the Spirit of God let me know not, hey, don't go there. You don't belong there. That's not for you. And the Spirit of God, you have to be in contact with the Spirit of God. You have to know the Spirit of God. I could read Acts 10, where Peter, the Spirit of God told him, said, hey, he got caught up in that vision, and the Spirit of God said, hey, there's some fellows down there who won't talk to you. But folks, we got to rest in His leadership. The Spirit of God will agree with the Word of God. But here's where we fail to get peace at. We fail to rest. A couple of different reasons. Number one, we don't want to go where He's telling us to go. We don't want to do what He's telling us to do. We like it the way we've always did it. Come on. I ate lunch with a young pastor yesterday, and he's trying to move forward with a ministry that God's put him in, a church. And he's been very gracious, very long-suffering, very gentle. And every time he tries to move forward, someone will say, We're not saying the Spirit's not leading you to do that, but we've just never done that. And they've been holding the church back. It's not that they're denying the Spirit of God's doing it, but they just say, well, we just ain't never. Just, in other words, fear. I'm not talking about leading them to something that is not biblical. Y'all understand when I'm preaching, I ain't talking about stuff like that. But no. Folks, I want to say something. It's in my heart. And I don't have to really say it here. Don't have to say it here, period. Well, when the Lord's leading the church, the Spirit of God's going to talk to the pastor. He's going to lead the pastor. He's not going to lead the deacon board. He's not going to lead the Sunday school. He's going to lead the pastor to move forward in an area. Now, not to say you can't give advice, you can't give an opinion, you can't give an idea. But don't get mad and say, well, the Lord gave me that idea and the preacher. But that ain't how it works. The Lord never contradicts His word. Pastors are not dictators, but they are the under-shepherd. They're the under-shepherd of the flock. And if y'all been around me long enough, I'm not a dictator. I'm just a big tater, amen? But the Spirit of God, hey, rest. When the Spirit of God leads you personally into something, you rest when He leads you the Scripture. And He speaks to you through His Word. Folks, the reason I ran from the call to preach is that very reason. I knew what the Spirit of God was wanting me to do. I knew that He was giving me the Word, and the Spirit of God was, I knew it. But I wasn't resting in that because that wasn't what I wanted to do. And any of you fellas, if you're preaching, I don't believe one of them here are, but if you're preaching just to be preaching, you in trouble. Remember years ago, I ran into Brother Everett Wallace at the filling station when his son, what's his name? Brother Tommy had just surrendered to preach, and he was on upper in years. And I'd heard about him surrendering to preach, and I said, Brother Wallace, I heard your son surrendered to preach, and I said, be praying for him. And he said, well, you know what? He said, I talked to him. And I did about the same thing. But he said, I talked to him. And told him, said, are you sure it's the Spirit of God? You sure the Lord's in it? He said, because today you got peace of mind. You only have to take care of yours. You don't have to worry about others. Your time is your family. You better be sure. And he told him, said, the Spirit of God's leading. Give him a word. And he's been preaching for a lot of years now. We get to the place we won't rest in what the Spirit's telling us because we just simply don't want to do what He's telling us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your patience.